Blog Talk Radio.
This is how we do it.
To the weekend. I am the host, Dr. Loretta D. Smith, of Talking Sports Plus. And we're so excited to have you here with us tonight on another Wednesday. You know, a lot has happened in 1 week's time in sports, and we want to really talk about it. We're excited about talking about it. So for you to hear what we're talking about, enjoy this moment with us like we're enjoying, call in 347-857-4192. Or go to the web link. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Smith Production. And also, if you want to email us, you can email us talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. We're so excited about being here. My team and I have two of our members on right now, and I know the other two is going to call in a little bit. We'll start off, and we're going to move from the north. Sometimes he's called a king. Sometimes he's the man that said, ain't no fun when the rabbit has the gun. We have the coach of the North, Coach Tremaine Edwards. Hello, Tremaine.
How y'all doing tonight? Glad to be here tonight. Hot topics, baby. Hot topics tonight. So get this thing rolling, Dr.
Yeah, let's make it happen, Tremaine. And then we're going to take a 300 miles, almost 3 or 4 hour run from North Alabama to South Alabama. know, gearing from the area out all the way from New Bern, all the way over to Troy, from Troy all the way down to Dothan. This man is well known. And I have to give him this introduction because he's the coach of the airways. None other than Darrell E-Train Elliott. Let me hear from you, Darrell.
I'm so glad that you guys are on tonight. I'm glad to be here. And by the way, if he ain't called the king all the time, they need a dub. Matter of fact, I'm going to go buy him a crown because Tremaine is the man. I just want to make
you
note.
Man.
Hello,
he's
everybody. Glad
he's
to be
man.
Here.
It's good to have you there. I'm so excited. We're so excited again to have you here. We got some topics. The main title of our show tonight is Real Talk About Sports. There's so much going on, from our coach's corner to a college sports, even to pro sports. We want to talk about some things that are just stirring up inside of us that we want to share our expertise about. But before I do that, my two other co-hosts that are not here but is coming, that will be here in a little bit, and that's Coach Tony Stallworth and the Lady of the Hour, Coach Laura D. Smith. That's our millennium that come at your heart. She come at you straight. But she's our millennium, and we're so proud to have both of them with us and all of you, each and every one of you all joining us as co-hosts. I thank you so much because we couldn't be a team without you all. Hey, real talk about sports. Let's talk about some sports. Team, let's kind of look at some things that's going on. You know, the hottest topic that's going on in our pundits and our talking heads in sports are talking about is which team will LeBron sign with? And then once he signed with that team, why should the Warriors, the Golden State Warriors, two-time champion, 3 out of 4 years, fear the team he's going to? I want y'all to jump in. Which team should LeBron sign with? Which team you think he's going to sign with? And give us a reason why you think he'll sign with them and what makes them so competitive with the Golden State Warriors. Talk to me, team.
Okay, I jump in real quick because, I mean, Tremaine is going to steal the deal with it. Whatever Tremaine say going to be the deal. But I'm going to say this right now. It's going to be the Rocket, and the reason why, because it's money, and no, they still ain't going to be able to beat the Warriors. That's all I got to say.
Oh, enough said there. All right, Trey, talk to us.
All right, I've been putting these contest clues together for the last couple of weeks because I'm trying to get in the land with my Lakers, and I'm trying to figure it out. But let me start it off. LeBron James said he wanted to go to a team that would equip his family. So he's looking to get out of the city of Cleveland. He said Houston isn't his ideal city, but if the right thing is offered to him, he'll take it. There's already been, how they say, the street committee already said his son has enrolled in Sierra Canyon. Sierra Canyon is located in L.A., Los Angeles County. It's in L.A. So those are some keys we got to pay attention to. Now, it's not so much as for money anymore with LeBron, he's trying to get some rings up under his belt. So, if whatever team get over there hunt with the Warriors, and it's not going to take as much as everyone think it is, because LeBron, with at least two more pieces that can play, I think they'll get somebody a hell of a run. They'll get the Warriors a hell of a run. They'll get the Rockets a hell of a run. And people got to look at it like this too, Dr. Smith and Darry. The Rockets were one game away from beating the Warriors. Due to injury, they got eliminated. Because I believe if Chris Paul, I'm about to call him Cliff, Chris Paul was there, he would make a difference. He would have made a difference in that series. I think he would have made a heck of a difference. That's my thought.
And I agree with both of you all. It's going to be hard to beat the Warriors, but I'm going to look at it a little different with LeBron. I know LeBron is not feeling comfortable. He had done his time in Cleveland. We'll give him credit. He came back. He honored what he said he's going to do. He brought a championship there. I think LeBron now, he do want to win another championship, But we have to keep in mind that LeBron is almost want to be in a situation where he can pick who's going to be with him and feel like they can coexist. I think he's at the point in his mindset that he want to pick the right players. He want to get him somebody that can handle the ball, so he can handle the ball all the time. He'll give him somebody that's going to make something happen or option for him, so you got to check all five of them. So the bottom line is, I just think that the team he'll get a chance to go to is the team that he can kind of help select some of those players or recruit the right players to go along with him and mesh with the players they already have there. So, you know, I personally feel that all the talk was about the Lakers, because if Magic Johnson is on the clock, and I believe he got – and this is the biggest sweepstake he have an opportunity to get and try to get is LeBron James. And then LeBron James can pick and choose. Because I'm very concerned about the next topic we're going to talk about is Kawhi Leonard and why he could just literally come out and say, I want to be in L.A. I don't want to be in San Antonio no more. I want to be in L.A. And I understand there's been some communication between Kawhi and LeBron. So building a team there or – adding and making those other players even better, I think it goes all up. Because, see, I don't want anybody to say they can't do it, because the Celtics, y'all, they was able to do it. Philadelphia is doing it. Why can't those players with a player like LeBron and Kawhi Leonard do some things at L.A.? Brandon Ingram, Kuzma, and a couple other players that can help them, they'll bring somebody else. What about that thought? And I want y'all to think about it. But you need to, as you listen to us, call in and share your expertise. That's 347-857-4192. Let us hear what you have to say. You can email me at talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. But we want you to call in. And once you call in and want to share your thought, press 1. And I identify the last 4 digits of your cell or your telephone number. Then I tell you to identify yourself and your location, if you choose, and just jump in the conversation. All right, let's move to the next conversation. And next conversation is Kawhi Leonard wants out of San Antonio. He has made it public. He has told the head coach there. And he wants to go to L.A. So, put your scenario together, team. Is any other team really have an option, can really get Kawhi Leonard? Because think about that. He has one more year. San Antonio got the right. He has told them, I want out. I don't want to play here anymore. What do you think? You want to keep a player like that just because he has another year on his contract? Will you maybe get anybody to match up with him? Or would you rather get that dead so out of the way and just go with your lumps how you are? Give me a thought on that. Talk to the team. Tell me what you think about Kawhi Leonard wants out of San Antonio and where he possibly may land.
You want me to crank it up, Darryl?
No, go ahead. I just want to let you know I'm here.
There you go, Starworth. I was going to introduce you. But jump over in there, Starworth. Jump on in there and talk about Kawhi Leonard.
I need no introduction. I'm coming in fight.
All right, come on and fight. That's Coach Tony Starworth, our other co-host. Appreciate you having him, brother. You can share your thoughts about, you know, your good afternoon, however you want to do it, my brother.
You know what? I want to say this. I'm going to be a listener tonight, and I've been known, according to a few of the listeners that have been calling in, saying I've been a little bit over the top. I'm gonna get in the middle and be cordial, and I'm gonna watch my tone of voice and watch some of the vulgarity that may come out. Somebody said I'll have a little Charles Barkley. I ain't gonna call no name.
There you go. That'll work.
But it'll be all right. It'll be all right.
It'll be fine, my brother. Be glad to have you. Come on, there. Just whoever want to jump in with that topic, let's do it. Let's make it happen.
All right, go ahead.
I'll crank it up.
Okay.
With Kawhi, he really doesn't control where he can go because he's not out of his contract yet. He just demanded a trade.
That's correct.
Now, as far as what team have to offer, L.A. got the upper hand on that. They have two lottery picks in the draft, and they got money. And like Darryl, he always says, money talks, man. Money talks. Now, whoever takes on his contract will be getting a good player, but the reason why Kawhi is so in distraught with the Spurs is the way they handle his injury. I really can't speculate on what happened behind scenes, behind closed doors. But as far as what I'm hearing, he's saying they didn't handle it right. So I don't know if he's saying the doctors didn't do a good job with it or if the staff tried to rush him back. So I really can't speculate on that. But it really rubbed him the wrong way, and he wants out. And he's trying to get to L.A., like you said, Dr. Smith.
Yes.
My little bit of input on that is this. Jermaine, I agree with you to some extent, and I add to you to support another way to look at it. You know, it's always I versus me, and the truth is in the middle. You agree with that, don't you?
Yeah, we agree.
And agents get involved in injury-type situations along with medical professions, and they want to know what avenue the athlete is envisioning. I believe it was, to my opinion, that there was some issues going on with Leonard maybe prior to the injury when it comes to contract negotiations. Contract negotiations don't just start the a year before you get out into free agency. It starts way before that. San Antonio has been known to be a moderate type organization to make and minimize getting the best out of their products without wasting money, so to speak. Tim Duncan probably landed after Robinson, David Robinson, the largest contract there. Parker and Ginobili and all of them, they played the minimum, made good money, no complaints, very conservative. Leonard just wanted to take it to another state. If you notice now, that started previously with the big power forward there, and they got to negotiate with him, and he finally came around. But at the end of the day, it's all about what can you do for me and what service can I provide for you. And sometimes they hide behind, and I agree with you, Tremaine, with this, and they hide behind that medical thing because it will protect them. Because what medical profession says, okay, now you can go now and give them what they want. And Pop is very demanding, very demanding. Leonard knows that. And I know I can tell you right today, Leonard has nothing personal against Pop. Pop understands business. They're the business of the organization. But you go out there prior to free agency and extend those type injuries, and you notice now when he came back, it went into a shoulder injury as well. So now you got two issues going on. You got a year before free agency. Okay. My market money may not be where I want to. Do I want to stay here? Exactly. Now, if he had stayed, he could have been in that range, probably not quite with the other $200 million contract. So he would have been somewhere like the 198, 197. But when you feel like you can move on for 37, don't forget now, LeBron started the 2 year unrestricted. So those are the type of contracts you want because you got negotiating power. You don't want to get locked down. So I think Leonard is probably going to exercise his business options. No offense to San Antonio. San Antonio understand. There's one thing about that organization. You know that there's no rebuttal against them. There's nothing in the air that they're saying other than they're quietly trying to negotiate with him and try to find out what his direction, bag off, move forward. Go and do like they usually do, man. Get them some more of those what? Those overseas players and move on. That's my take.
Yes, sir. Role players and move on.
And let me kind of add to some things. I watch First Take every morning, recording and everything. Some of the things that have come out, you know, Greg Popovich went and met with him yesterday in San Diego, and he told him he is not playing for San Antonio. So I think before it was everybody else talking and Greg being the person with the five ring, when you tell him that, I know he's plotting a plan with management to do something, because I don't care if nobody say, yes, he's under contract, but if he's going to be a sore for your organization, you may just have to move him. And he said, you know, San Antonio said they weren't going to trade him to the Lakers. And T is right. But do you want that sore there? Because I'm just saying, you know, that goes back 25 years ago. I remember Elgin Baylor or somebody had a sign that said, trade me. Trade me. He before he played a game, trade me. So my question is, the man that told you he don't want to play there, he want to play in L.A. And anybody else, if you mess with him and let him go to your team, he ain't going to be there for 1 year with you just to make out this trade deal. So why not just go and get him out there and get you something out of the deal? Because we got to realize San Antonio is old. The old ain't got nothing. They got nothing to do with the old LeBron James. But them dudes, Ginobili and Parker, those guys are done. So my question is, do he see a future with them, or do he want to have where he can get the team like he wants to get and build? I'm just throwing that out there because they had to meet yesterday, and it didn't work very well for Greg Popovich. So the thing is, he want to be out. He want to be out. So I'm thinking something may happen in between now and Friday. That's the going question. He might be out there by Friday. Now, where he go? But they ain't going to keep him around too long. That's just my opinion. But we can share that thought. We'll talk about that in a few more minutes.
Well, I think everybody has valid points on what's going down. We know it's always about that surprise a little later on. But I have done some research, too, and he's really, really geared toward getting down to L.A. You go down to L.A. and play on that unrestricted going out deal. Of course, you got to get traded. But I'm going to tell you something, L.A. doesn't really have a whole lot to offer anybody with that they got down there. I'm just being honest with you. I hate to say what I'm saying, but it's products that are aspiring, so to speak. That's what he used to call us when we were in the administration, when you're trying to get there, right, Dr. Smith? It's aspiring.
Aspiring, yes.
It's trying to get there. And when it's aspiring, it doesn't have market value. It has hope for market value. But he can get there within that window, and because there's no player down there, I ain't calling no names because I don't know who may be listening to me. And I'm going to say this, that father's son that's down there, that's not going to ever be what Magic really wants for L.A. and the Bucks. They're just buying time with that. He can go down there and ride that thing out and get well, because he needs to get well, and not losing the money and being in a situation where he could be the franchise player in L.A. The market value in L.A. supersedes San Antonio. We all know that. We're talking Hollywood. We're talking a brand. And, hey, don't be surprised if you might see Mr. George might show up down there. I don't think LeBron wants that trio that deep. I think he may be looking at something a little bit different. We'll talk about it later on, but that's my take on that. I think Leonard is being really led by the fact that, hey, you're not completely healthy. Let's go somewhere where you can buy yourself some time. And when you buy yourself some time, it'll pay off because you can be the franchise player in a major, major brand product, and that's L.A. That's my take.
Okay. All right, I call in. Let's get our call in number 347-857-4192. Go ahead on Trey.
I'm gonna say this with that situation. I know also this just happened. Magic has been meeting with his staff, his recruiting staff, on the tampering rule. So they have to tone down what they're doing right now too, as far as talking to these players, letting them know what they can offer them and all that. That has been in the media too, talking about the Los Angeles Lakers and Magic Johnson with their tampering, violating the tampering rule.
And that's something that, you know, all those teams, you know, have to be very careful when you start dealing with free agents. So this is something we're going to watch. But I want us to keep in mind is as the big question, will Leonard be out of San Antonio by Friday, be traded? That, you know, because I just think after having that conversation and Greg Popovich could not get him to want to be there, he's working a way to try to get him out of there. And who wants to take a chance of giving up some max players for a player that only going to stay with you 1 year? Because he know he's going home. And the family might be behind it. The neighborhood might be behind it. Whatever it is, he say he want to be in L.A., send him on to L.A. Whatever you get you live with it. But you got to get him. That's just my opinion. That's my take on it. But we can talk about it a little bit more a little bit later. But let's kind of move to our next topic. And our next topic is discuss Puma. Shoe print have their aggressive attack on Nike shoe print in the NBA. Tell me what you think about Puma's making a great effort to kind of be that second shoe in the NBA. Because we know Puma and Adidas are siblings, so they're from the same company. What do you think about them signing Bagley and Ayton to their contract, their shoe contract, get started off? Tell me what you think about Puma making an aggressive attack on Nike.
You know, back in there was an attack that Puma had on Nike. There was a case over the Flyknit Air and the cleat assembly back earlier. I think back in 1987, and it was a situation where Nike complained that, you know, their speed knee fit and their bubble knit and all was covered with their patents, and there was a little bit of overriding with Puma. I think what has happened now is you got two companies that has been closely knit and been going through some situations coming forward that has entered into the market where, hey, okay, Puma said, let's get some of these big names to make a decision. You know, corporate sponsors and integrated relationships sometimes have a tendency to clash. Nike now complained that Puma is infringing on Nike's issues and their assembly technology and various products, including their speed line. When you get on their speed line, that means you're taking over some of their commercial products. So I think a good relationship now, as in all, like a marriage, like friendship, like brotherhood, sometimes can go bad. I think it has somewhat gone bad because of even way back to the 1987 situation where Nike had an issue in their air sole structure. That's my take.
I'm gonna say this, like you said, it's a good push, but Puma has a long way to go to even get on the same level as Nike. As you see now, all your main products are Nike, and it was until now that I understood how the clothing merchandise works, as far as being a coach and having a vendor break stuff down to me. What the vendor told me was, all these clothes, Trey, are made in the same place. All of them made in the same place. He said, it's up to us and how much we charge you to put this brand on your clothing. He said, you can have a Gildan T-shirt and change it, well, a regular T-shirt, and just put a Nike check, and the value of that shirt goes from a dollar T-shirt that you can order online to a $45 T-shirt in a store. For Puma to make this push, it'll be real good because I haven't known Puma to be a heck of a basketball shoe. I've known Puma to be a good track shoe. You know, I see some golf shoes every now and then and a nice little canvas shoe walking around in. But for Puma to make this push and try to get on the level of a Nike, I think it'll be real good for the NBA, because you got to understand, some companies have phased out. Reebok has phased all the way out. I mean, I can't remember the last time I seen a Reebok athletic shoe in the NBA. And I need y'all to let me know if y'all seen any Reeboks. But Puma will be a good competitor to a Nike shoe. And Adidas, well, you know, they're combined. Puma and Adidas are in the same family. But that'll be real good for the NBA. I think a vast variety of shoes in the NBA will be real good. And they're going to pay them kids, too.
You know, if you don't mind me interjecting,
We mind because you have us interject.
Well, then please allow me at this point to intercede. So,
come on, my brother.
Puma has hired Jay-Z as their creative designer and the outfront person. And that's the first big move that they've made to get inside of the NBA, is putting Jay-Z ahead of that. Second thing, the strategy of marketing is going to be phenomenal. I've read some of the point for points that they're already getting ready to launch for the NBA. Now, you go with me here. You got to have a product. Yes, you do. You got to have a product. Yes, you do. But when you grab two, if you can get one off the top, one outstanding, let's just say a LeBron James type of person, to put that Puma shoe on and get on that TV. It's marketing, guys. You got to have a product. Don't get me wrong.
That's right.
You got to have a product. But once you have ascertained that product, and believe you me, they can take a Nike shoe, take the design from it, change two stitches on it, and it's not even copyrighted at that point. That's how that business works. So it's about marketing. So they put creative designer Jay-Z out front. And Jay-Z is now infiltrating with his marketing strategy with Puma on how to reach that age group that is going to appeal to that shoe, get it into the NBA, and watch what happens in the next 6 months. You're going to see Puma, 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 Nike, Nike, Nike. You're going to see that. And that's my two cents worth.
And that's an excellent point you just brought. But let's add some things to that. Now, you remember the last time Puma had a shoe on professional player that's well known, we all may remember, Vince Carter. Puma, he wore
that's
Puma.
Right.
Now, they phased out of it.
1998.
Yeah, 1998. They went to hip hop. They went more to the hip hop route. You know, you go up in the city, you find a lot of people, you remember with, you know, warm up suits and Puma shoes and all that. And they're just trying to make a shoe that's going to be comfortable, that they can get these young stars to put on their feet, because you got to realize young people want to have a pair of shoes that says they name. You know, I just recently saw Stephen Curry got his new shoe coming out. You know, and some of these young guys that now want to carry their own, they want to put their own shoe out. So that's why I was able to get possibly two top draft choices, Aiden and Bagley, to put them on their feet. So it ain't nothing but folk that admire them might put them on their feet. So somewhere you have to start. You can't go get those people that have been on Nike forever. It's hard to get them off. But if you start with the younger, a lot of them will think the same way we think. They want to go with the hottest thing around, and we know that for a fact. They'll go with the hottest shoe. So if Puma put a nice-looking shoe together that these boys are wearing, different colors and all that, I guarantee you, they're going to impact enough to probably, because you're not going to impact Nike enough to hurt them, because they've been around just with Michael Jordan. You know, just being around from the time they started putting shoes at, when they started with Nike. And I can remember a long time ago, they've been around a long time. But if you can get about 20% of those people to wear those shoes, I think Puma would have a start and a good start. And I think Jay-Z will be impactful. If not only they'll be having the market of just tennis shoes, they're going to have the market also outside of the basketball. They'll be doing it with football. They'll be doing it everywhere. So the idea is they got this thrust going on. So, you know, we applaud Puma for making that opportunity. Our call-in number is 347 857-4192. All right, let's jump into the draft that's coming up tomorrow.
Let me say this before you close on that because all of the statements that we made about this issue is sometimes just a little bit of relatively thought to support the fact that it is an ongoing case and attack. Puma North American Incorporated in the United District Court in the District of Massachusetts, they alleged that Puma had foregone independent innovation. Let me tell you what the independent innovation was saying. They said that they were using Nike's technology without permission. So as long as the relationship was okay, you're okay with our brand being on your shoe because you're going to be what? Luxury, just like you said, Dr. Smith and Comfort. But when you start using our technology to start encouraging the NBA players to wear that shoe, even if they're not playing in it, it takes our market from us. It takes our value. It infringes on our brand. I just want to close out with that because I think our listeners need to understand that at the end of the day, the relationship has gone bad because somebody has gone over the top. And Puma, just like anything else, you know, just like having a friend around and knows how you're spending your money and making your money, and eventually find out, no, eventually said, well, you know what? I'm going to try to get a part of this. Close relationship, especially in business sometimes, becomes separatist because too much knowledge. So them getting into their Nike technology without permission is what the whole issue is all about. That's my ending take.
All right. And that is where we can see it and see that there's going to be some controversy, but it's time to make it happen, and I guess Puma think they're going to go ahead. Let's talk about the NBA draft. I just want y'all to name the three prospective players you think they'll be taking 1, 2, or 3. You know, and just share some thoughts about those players and see if that team that being number 1, 2, or 3, drafting them, will it really help their team? Will it give them the foundation to start? Is it going to be just like it's been in the past? Or some of them had number one draft choices for the last 4 or 5 years, number two, number three, top 10, and they still where they are and hadn't moved up. What's your thoughts on the top three that's prospective players drafted in the NBA draft tomorrow, and what impact will they have on the team?
You know, I think where we are currently is we finally get into a situation where we can get more big men in. DeAndre Ayton, Arizona, we're talking a 7'1" premier center, freshman, averaging 21.1 and 12 point rebounds a game. And do Phoenix, Arizona need him? Yes. I think that's an impact player. That could change somewhat of the, I guess, 2-year look at the West. And look at Marvin Bagley from Duke. Hi, Marvin. 21 points a game, right at 12-point rebounds a game in a premier program. Sacramento Kings, they need him desperately. You know, they unloaded what? Big Boogie Cousins contract, and he went down to what, New Orleans?
New Orleans.
And I'm not sold on Trae Young. I'm not sold on Trae Young. I think Trae Young is playing off of Curry's movement to get into the NBA. And I think all of you, Tremaine, all y'all agree that sometimes you have to find that guy that got in, and whatever your, what I say, weakness or what you think size factors are, you got to use that to sell your product.
Yes, sir.
I think it's a big man draft. If you look at the 6'11" kid from Texas, I think that's one we ain't about looking at.
Bamba.
Muhammad Bamba.
Yeah.
Right. 13 points a game, never rebound, got that weight down. Oh my God, he can be a big factor. And I like Porter, but Porter is injury prone. You think 6'10"? Small forward can play both ways. Kind of reminds me of a little bit of a three-way player comparison to Joe Johnson. And New York, Knicks. I'm not sold on the Knicks. Knicks can't get nobody to stay there, not even me. I was a king to go ahead and visit. But Anyway, and then I overlooked one. Luke Dunasic, small forward from Real Madrid. And let's look at this now. Let's think now. Think San Zone. Even though Dallas has had rights of it, I think that would be a move that San Antonio would look at very, very good to upside, because they're losing Parker and Ginobili. Those contracts are all gone. And if they lose their franchise player going out, that open up a little bit of cap space. And they love those type players. You know, that's my take on those players. And I like Miles Bridges, too. Villanova shooting guard, 6'7". And Colin Sexton may not be the top five, but he's an NBA player playing college in a damn way. Excuse me, there. I mean, 11 out there. And Charlotte and Michael Jordan is looking good with that one. So that's my take on that.
And Coach Tony Stallworth, I just want to tell you this. I agree with you because you are damn right.
Oh, all right, then. That you heard it from down here. You heard it from Stallworth. What do you got to say up there in the North, the King, Coach Tremaine? What do you got to say?
I'm gonna say this, Dr. Smith. I'm gonna go with Like Star Wars said, it's a big man draft. The kid from Arizona, Ayton, he will be amongst the top three. The kid from Texas, Bamba, he will be amongst the top three. And also Bagley will be amongst the top three. My dark horse, and, you know, you start to pick three, I'm going to pick four right quick. My dark horse will be that guard from Kentucky, Shai Gillis. Alexander, I like him a lot. He's a long guard, about 6'6", 6'7", with a wingspan of 6'11". I really like him.
Hey, Tremaine,
as far as being.
Tremaine, let me ask you something.
Go ahead, Sauer.
Would another dog horse be Wendell Carter from Duke?
I'm gonna say this, Sauer. I think Wendell Carter needs another year. Because I don't see the athleticism that Marvin Bagley possesses to go in the league with.
That's right.
But now, as far as a player, I think Wendell Carter is a great player. But as far as being athletic enough to participate in the NBA, I think he's going to be stuck a little bit. Now, he has
Let me ask you this here. 6'10", averaging 14 points a game, 10 rebounds as a freshman at Duke, and guess who is projected to pick? Cleveland Cavaliers. I think
he can't
ride.
The key is you can take your money and ride, start work, but you won't be there no more than 3-4 years.
Hey, Cleveland ain't got no big man. He's a franchise player. They ain't gonna have LeBron.
The key with the NBA right now is not so far as what a big man can do, is how a big man can move. As you saw with Big Cuz and Anthony Davis, they developed a part of their game that they necessarily didn't show in college. And they had the athleticism to show that in the NBA. So
But in 3 years they got paid. Okay, this is what Cleveland's gonna offer. Cleveland's gonna offer him $3,361,500 to come in as a projected next year, sophomore, on a team where they're gonna lose one of the best players they had in 2 to 3 years. Tremaine, sorry to interrupt you. He will be rich at Cleveland. Cleveland ain't got no other way to go. They're right behind Golden State in salaries for a player. They got no cash room. They got to take this guy.
So you being with the athleticism of Wendell Carter, Here go the question, Stalwart. How long do you see Wendell Carter being in the league, in the NBA?
Well, I say this. Coming from the program that he came from, and you just use a real good analogy when you use Davis that came from Kentucky, that played with a bunch of good players, I think that he is the only player at that market value that Cleveland can afford. I'm talking about Cleveland, afford to take a chance on, because Cleveland has not had a halfway decent productive big man, even when LeBron came back. You got to agree with that. You got to.
I agree.
Wendell Carter is worth taking a chance on because of the way the NBA is set up. 3 years, 3 years to move up, or 3 years you out. So they don't lose. Because the cap can keep them wrapped in at $3 million and being where they are with money they've spent, with all this trade moving around and LeBron being there, hey, I'm telling you now, get that angel change. Hell, he'll take it.
Lost there. Okay, that's and I would look at it in the players you name at the top would be the top players. Somehow I have a little problem with Michael Porter because he ain't hit the flow yet for no more than a few minutes. I have to see him out on and truly with a back injury. That y'all know about a back injury. It ain't you might not never hear from that. So that's one of the players I don't really see. Maybe you know people will wait till after the 10th pick to pick him. That's just from what I see. But all the other players y'all mentioned are players that we can look to see make a difference. But just remember, they're young, and when they come in there, they're going to make the mistake like a lot of those players did that was in those situations with those teams like Philadelphia and Boston. They're going to make – everybody make a mistake. That pressure
That's
a
right.
little bit too high when you play.
Right.
When you play guys that are 30 years old, 10 years older than you, 8 years old, it just ain't the same. So whatever happened this year, they'll get in the league and play as well as they can play. The idea is to see how they're going to be on the draft choice. All right, the call-in number, 347-857-4192, or you can email us at talkingsportsplus@gmail.com, or you want to just do some things, I mean, go to that Twitter and try to tweet us some things. We have Talking Sports Plus with number one. You have at Elliot Darrell with number one, at Tremaine Edwards, the number seven, and Lauren is at Kiwi_don't_care. And we want to make sure you can contact us and share your thoughts through the tweet. All right, let's kind of jump on two social issues that's going on, and we will kind of tie them into one another. And that is the NFL, should they reverse the anthem policy they just passed about 2 weeks ago, and whether it's okay for a professional championship team to no longer go to the White House for the celebration. We're going to kind of tie them in. One, first is looking at the NFL reversal. Should it reverse the anthem policy? And shall the professional teams, championship team, go to the White House for that celebration they've been doing for the last 20 years? Give me your thought. Give me your take on that.
I think the mere idea of a championship team having an opportunity to go to the White House is an earned privilege. It should never be a situation where it should be denied, but you have to take in consideration, listeners and my fellow co-hosts, political issues sometimes change the whole dynamics and the outlook of why and why not. The next thing is the most largest stage to put controversy on, either to sell it or bury it, is with what? Professional athletes. Sometimes they get between why and why not, and the truth is in the middle. I think it's an opportunity for the highest accomplishment to be recognized at the highest what? Highest place, which is the White House. And that's something that I think everybody needs to put aside what's on the table so far as the political adversity. But let me say this too as well. The president did not help that situation by some of the things that he said as relative to some of the professional athletes when it came to recognizing the national anthem. I'm glad you put both of those issues on the same page, because when he started calling out what to do with those athletes because of, let's be realistic. You're talking about 99.9% Afro-American athletes, which is the makeup of the league. So now you put the whole recognition situation under the radar and becomes, okay, you the one said this about us? Why should we come and be recognized by you just because we won the highest prize? So it's a little bit shaky because of the way it was handled. I like our former president because he was a man of diversity and also one that not only loved sports, but used sports as a market brand so we all can get along. So I think it has taken a different approach, it has allowed the athletes to take a different look at it. That's my take.
Okay. Dr. Smith, let me hear your take on it right quick. Let me hear your take.
Well, first of all, I let's start off with the anthem. I think there should have been a policy put in place way before now. That's why the NBA don't have the problem, or the Major League Baseball don't have the problem with that, because it was already in place. The NFL go back to 20 years ago when they received that money and they from Congress in regards to that, doing that and making sure everybody do that at that. But we commonly know it's become a hotbed issue. We keep tying one thing into another, and people keep stepping in and creating problems. As I said, the question was about reversing it. Now, the NFL decided to put a policy in place, and they looked like they reacted to what was going on, which it should have been in place already. And now if they change it, they look like any time pressure comes from the other individuals, whether right or wrong, indifferent, them as owners should make the decision, well, I'm going to stick to it or not. It's not going to hurt their bottom line, because, as you see it, those athletes had no problem because they received 87. The Player Association received $87 million to address the cause that was being what we're dealing with African American males and cases, females being killed by the police department. There was money given so those NFL players can put into the community and do that. So they were making an effort, but they was caught between a rock and a hard place because the president jumped into it. And because he couldn't buy a team 20 years ago, he put pressure on the owner. So it's so political, and it should be political. Now, the thing about it, it's affected even when you go places. I was somewhere recently, and they said, well, you know, will you please stand, take your hat off, and we're going to play the national anthem. You know, they've always been doing that, and a lot of people stand, a lot of people don't stand. That's their choice. Some people take the hat off, they don't. Some people talk. Why the national anthem? All that, a lot goes on with that. So we're getting so touchy with some of the things. I just believe as management, you made a decision, live with what the result's going to be. And then on the situation with these pro teams, now you notice the pro team, because you know them colleges, you hadn't seen one of them not come yet that's been champions. You know, and Alabama been up there, you know, they missed their opportunity. But the point is, that's a choice that the university has to make. So the bottom line is that it's an issue. I just think NFL made a decision. It is what it is, and just go with what you need. If you stay in the locker room, stay in the locker room. If you come out, you come out. If you stand and that's what your boss man told you to do, that's is what it is. And you live with it or not live with it, that we'll move forward. I think we eventually will move forward with that. That's my take on it, Trey.
I agree totally with what you said about the national anthem. It's going to be a choice, like what you said. People talking still got the hats on, and you see people at football games still sitting down. But you, like yeah. you said, that's as far as prayer. I mean, some people pray with looking around. You look around in church, they praying with their eyes open. They look around regular. Some people still, I mean, that's with anything. I mean, I believe it's a choice, and people going to do what they want to do regardless. As far as me, I'm going to follow suit and do what's traditional, what has been going on. You know what I'm talking about? As far as the White House, like you said, it's a reward to get to come to the White House. No matter who the president is, you're not going to agree. Everyone is not going to agree with every president issue. It's issues that Obama was dealing with that people then, you know, that people of color didn't like. I mean, it's going to do that regardless. But like you said, Obama brought the world together with sports. So he made it interesting. He made March Madness. I'm going to do a March Madness tournament bracket, and I'm going to show you how my bracket going. I mean,
and
he makes his choices. But as far as Trump, it's more of a status thing that they're trying to do with him. So as far as him trying to hard time us, they're going to hard time him.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. And all of that, you know, discussion from the experts is coming. We want you to share your thoughts because this is a hot button topic. 347-857-4192. Share your thoughts. We want you to. When you call in, I'm going to identify you when you press 1 with the last 4 digits of your number, and then I'm going to ask you to identify yourself and give your location. All right, let's look at something that's real important. And if you notice, the 3 things that occurred in the last 2 weeks in NCAA athletics that is going to be impactful. And we want to put them all together and talk about it and see how it benefits some teams. Do the rich get richer or the poor continue to get poor? For example, we had the new red shirt rule said a player can play in 4 games and don't lose his red shirt. He still can be red shirt. We had the transfer, the graduate transfer rule. It was more in line with the SEC. And the SEC said that a school can't stop you from going, but still an SEC still can stop you from transferring as a grad student to another school. Then we had the transfer rule. That hadn't changed about you sitting out, but now the minute you're displeased, you don't have to go and ask for permission from the coach. You can send your name into this website, and this website will put you listed down in this data bank, and then coaches can go in there, and then they can start recruiting you, even though you're still at that school. So the point is, that's the biggest change with that. Now, I want to know from you how this is going to affect college football, but let's start with the red shirt rule, one particular thing. Let's go back, and I read in an article today in regards to the situation at the University of Alabama. It's not only going to help Alabama or put Alabama in that position. You've got 2 quarterbacks. And both of them, as Lane Kiffin said today, is nothing but access to you. They helped you. Now you can use that 4-game rule with that one. Well, that person can play in 4 games. What if you get that quarterback, you got starting quarterback hurt, and you're going to need that second quarterback to come in, but that player that got hurt might be for the rest of, got a red shirt. Yeah, but you still got a quarterback. Then it also helps if the person playing it that goes to, you know, graduate. You know, using Jalen Hurts, for example. And then my question is, how do it benefit the rich? Because the rich continue to get rich. And let's think about Alabama. And I'm going to say Alabama. They can play players up to 4 games. Now, instead of having on that field, normally when you see maybe 40, 45 players, they're going to be playing 60 or 70. How do that help them? But those guys can still be redshirted. Tell me what you think. Tell me your thoughts, my brother.
I think the rule, and you gave all the upsides and downsides of the additional year being 4 years for redshirt. And, of course, given that open policy to have free agency in college, what it does is, it gives the student athlete an opportunity when he or she is injured to to renegotiate their livelihoods. And be mindful now, if he or she, especially the contact sport of football, has a catastrophic injury, it could be the end of their future, because we know, and we always know that they sign these scholarship as five-star athletes, they're not looking to get no science and PE and biology degree to come back and teach school. That's nowhere in their horizon. They're looking to get that market value to the next level, especially when they got those five stars by their name. So it gives the student athletes an opportunity. And Dr. Smith, you said something. When you saw the rich get richer, it gives the poor now, the Alabama State University, the small universities or whatever, an opportunity to communicate without permission. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or give, let me back it up. They'll give the student athletes their autonomy to communicate with whoever they show desire. So nobody really loses here. There's a balance here. And it's amazing that Nick Saban used his reverse psychology on it, because you know where I'm going with this, because he didn't lose.
Yeah, go ahead on. Go ahead on, brother. Go ahead on.
He just, being who he is and being the type of intelligent person that he is, he's saying, okay, now that this rule is in place, I didn't endorse it, but it's advantageous, and it's a product to us now in recruiting and everybody else too. We're going to always get the best players because of who we are, but it allows the best player now to come to us and have some autonomy to get out without me saying you can't play anymore, or you cut, or whatever, your injury sustains you playing time. They always have six or seven linebackers, 15 or 20 secondary players. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to be standing in line, but they all got stars behind their name. So if you look at it, it really benefits the bottom and the top. So that gives the top players that have made that choice an opportunity. We'll take a kid as a five-star kid in HBCU that has a partially career-ending injury. And that kid is looking for a home.
Yep.
Whereas Arkansas don't want Alabama's baggage if it's been proven to what? Not be truthful to them. So it's an open market now. That's the word, open market. And Nick knows it's the best thing, and he's smart enough to not worry about his feelings in it. Because what he's going to do, continue to do what he's been doing, continue to be the pro that it's been, and whatever rule they put in place, with that program being where it is, the whole SEC and the NCAA not going to do anything against a university that creates that much revenue. And as I close, and everybody get paid. That's my take.
Everybody getting paid. All right, then. Trey.
I agree totally with both of you guys' thoughts on those, on that red shirt policy. But I'm going to say this. If y'all not noticing, I'm going to use Alabama since we're on Alabama. And I'm going to use Auburn, too. Guys are impatient with playing time. I'm going to say that to start this off.
Mm-hmm.
When guys are sitting in the back seat at Alabama and all for 2 and 3 years, for you to say you're going to be redshirt this year, they are very impatient. So what they would do is they will use the other piece that we're saying with the tampering policy. I say it's the tampering, because you're tampering with players within the season. That's how it works, Dr. Smith, right?
Yes, sir. Whenever you declare that you want to be transferred and the university can't say anything, they can put their name in a database and them coaches can call those players to try to recruit them to come to their team. That's what
what that does is it defies the actual policy of tampering being illegal now.
Yeah, because
it opens up a legal means of communicating with them, but only when they put their name in the database. Right, Dr. Smith?
Right.
All in the database.
Right. Mm-hmm. But as I was saying, with Alabama and Auburn, looking at the quality players they're getting, it's hard for you to say after, you know, I'm a 4 or 5 star athlete. I come in, I use a couple of my years, you know, because I'm not playing, and then I get to my third year, and can I use the policy then? Like, you can redshirt me in the middle of the season. I can play four games and get redshirted.
Four games.
You can be redshirted.
So, Dr. Mm-hmm. Smith, Coach Stallworth, mm-hmm. is there a determining number of how many guys I can redshirt?
No,
it doesn't matter.
You can redshirt 25 in your class.
And what it does, man, if you look at it, you're a former athlete. You could be hurt first, second, or third game. But at least giving you leverage of 4 games, because you're in contact now. You're not on the sideline.
Yes,
this ain't practice. And what that gives you an opportunity now is okay, and it gives the marketers an opportunity of seeing you. And
that's
boom,
it. That's enough.
You go redshirt,
right.
And you got a chance to recover from whatever substantial probability of an injury going forward. And at least you'll have some market value left. Can you imagine
right.
they didn't have that? You're done. Hell, that's how we got the kid. That's how we got the kid from Georgia. You remember? And I'm gonna stay here
right.
for low.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Go ahead, on Trey.
But yeah, like I said, like we say that's the Nick Saban rule. But as far as just as good as Nick Saban will be talking to players, he will be losing players. I'm gonna say that, Stallworth and Dr. Smith.
He can't lose players when he got hell. He got all of them. Get out of here!
You're
right.
That's what
he's
gonna be doing.
It goes both ways now. He may lose, but on the
right.
other end, somebody doing it, trying to get taken.
Right. But as far as like I'm saying, as far as guys that are unhappy, that are not playing, this market is the prototype market for those guys. It's gonna be some guys getting shipped out, and with them not being able
some of them probably shouldn't even been there. So some of those stars are put onto them by the wrong people, and when they get there with the rest of the stars, they don't what average up. So man, you know how it works. I'm a high school American. I've been all American on my team for the last few years coming to high school. Oh yeah, you're right. But when you get here, we all the same. Now you create another brand? Some of them can't create the other brand. But at least trying to, and they get injured, get them opportunity now to have some type of livelihood in the game they love somewhere else without being punished.
Exactly, and I look at the situation right here. I'm gonna go back to Alabama with the linebacker. They had a big time 5-star linebacker that just came to Alabama to visit this past weekend, and they set him intentionally on a visit with Matt Millen. Matt Millen is a linebacker from Memphis that committed to Alabama three years ago. And what the recruit said he loved about Matt Millen, he said, the guy haven't played much on the field. And I was like, yeah, because I knew of him when he got committed to the university, but he never panned out. But he had so many good things to say about the school. So you really find out what guys are going to be sold to your program, which is understanding your process. And you're going to understand the guys that are out there to get the meal ticket. So I'm going to say this. Alabama, Auburn, and other top-tier teams, a lot of people are going to be getting out of Dodge, Dr. Smith and Tony Stallworth. They're going to be getting out of Dodge, man. And you can't stop them now.
They're going to get out. Look out. And we had, and you had Tuskegee, and me and Alabama State looking for them to come out of the way.
Hey, I ain't at Tuskegee Star Wars. I'm at A&M now. Don't throw that on me.
I apologize. You know, that really was the insult. I'm at A&M.
Let me kind of add something on a little different look with the red shirt. How I think it benefits teams that get the players like Alabama would get, you actually can let the guys play four games to get four games of experience and don't lose a year. Before, they just redshirted Ben Davis, and he never hit the field. But just think about if he had four games, not to transfer, but to make your team even better. So you're playing now 70 to 75 guys. And when they come there, they know they're going to get a chance to play four games. They get a chance to play four games. How do that help a team? Tell me how that would be number a blessing for Nick Saban. He can put more bodies at you, more bodies and more bodies, and they don't even lose a red shirt yet. Think about it. How that helps a team like that. So I'm just saying that red shirt rule is strong. It is nothing weak. It is something big for teams that got the best players. Because now you can be playing 75 players out there when all the other teams going to – and 75 good players, five-stars, yep. When all the other teams got two or three five-stars. And these guys getting that experience to go out there because there ain't nothing like that contact and you find out exactly what, whether you want to be there or not. So I think it works for Nick Saban when you can keep them guys on the field, get them in there, and let them play. And then the transfer helps out because if you don't like it and you can't wait, then you leave there. But most of you guys come there thinking, I'm going to stay here 2 or 3 years and I'm going to go to the pros. That's their big dream. And everyone think they can go to pros, but everybody don't be able to go to pros. But they, most of the time, they stay there. They're like Mac Miller, stay there. Probably going to get him a degree and probably already working on his degree. He's going to stay there and like to play. Yeah.
Sean Hamilton.
Sweat on work.
Look at Sean Hamilton sweated it out, remember?
He sweated it out.
I mean, you got and you look at it goes back to Alabama right now with the quarterback situation. And Coach Smith, Dr. Smith, you said it in the beginning. You know that rule right now will be applicable to either one of those quarterbacks after four games.
Either one. There you go.
So why? You know why? That's right. Because hey, okay, you want to go? You're not getting playing time in game three. You got game four now to what? Impose yourself into a redshirt market. Ain't lost nothing.
Yep.
Because two things look at now. You've shown every other school how good you were competing against the best, which sometimes might not make your market value any less. On the other hand, you've shown every other school which you could compete against the best, those two quarterbacks, and you was not good, given an opportunity. So, hey, let's get the hell out of here. And take the 4-year swing, ride it out somewhere else, and I got Elk Wilson left. Oh, it is a good rule if it's utilized the right way.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the things they've been talking about.
You're talking about a contact sport, which any day you can go down.
Exactly. And see, that works in the play. I think the rich get richer. Let me just kind of say something about rich getting richer, and I think Star Wars said something about that money. Now, the spring meetings was invested for the SEC. They handed out over $650 million to their school. $650 million to their school. Hear what I'm saying, guys? $650 million was handed out to
Georgia.
Their school.
Georgia,
you know,
here.
All those schools got 40 and 50,000.
Texas,
yeah,
and
everybody's benefiting. Everyone of them benefiting from that money. They benefit
by
being the SEC. Then they compare. Now they compare the USA or whatever it is. The money they had at their spring meeting was $70 million. That's all. That's all they had. The SEC was the highest. They had $650 million. The Pac-10 had $539 million. The Big Ten had $439 million. This is how much money was made last year. So the thing about competing, you can't compete at a level when you don't have the money to compete, because they handed out $40 million to Alabama. Just Alabama now. $40 million, man. You put in your account to do what you need to do in athletics. So it's hard for those Florida Atlantic, it's hard for UCL and all of them to compete when they're on a league that only getting $74 million. And that's why they can keep going. They can have a player for everything and have a person for everything. But go ahead, I'll let y'all talk a little bit, my brothers.
Well, you know, as we get ready to close, you know, the rich get richer. There are benefits for those that can't get rich from the top. There's opportunities for the student athletes to make some decisions, give them some leverage. After all, it's about the student athletes. After all, without them, there's no Nick, there's no nobody, there's no 30 million, 40 million, there's no nothing. So somebody has to liberate the whole situation. You don't pay the athletes, well, you don't pay them legal anyway. So why not give them some leverage for continuous negotiation in their future that could be, hey, over with on the wrong play or continuous because they have no opportunity to get well at this a free agency. They ain't gonna give them no money. So you gotta keep the free agency in play. It's just remote and one of those situations where whether Nick verbally comes out and say he approves it or thinks it's the best thing, he really knows that deep down inside it is the overall best situation, if you weigh the scale, when it comes to giving athletes and their families an opportunity to keep their student, their kids or their children or these student athletes going forward, irregardless, because it is so predictable. Don't use the word unpredictable, it's predictable because you're going to get injured. It's all about what? The time. So I think it's a good rule going forward. I don't think it can be abused. There's no way it can be abused. The only way it can be abused is not really looking into whether it's an injury or it's a decision. But it gives you, literally, it gives you either one, an option, right? Because 4 years.
Exactly. Yep. Hey, brother, it's been an awesome show tonight. I'm glad everybody joined us, and we do look forward to seeing you on next Wednesday as bright as 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, and we want you to be a part of it. Make sure you join us next Wednesday. But also on Monday night, we have our Talking Real to You. We'll have that show on Monday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. We had an awesome show tonight, Coach Stallworth. It's just you and I trying to wrap this thing up. So, you know, anything you want to lay out and leave with our public and our listeners about what's going on with you, I just want to share some thoughts with you, with them. You can do it, and we're going to close it out. And we're going to close it out to your favorite song, Game Changer. How about that, my man.
I just want to say thanks so very much to the listeners. As always, we value you, because without you, there's no us. And as I always say, always take the day and don't let the day take you. I'm out.
Awesome. And as we go away, that's Game Changer that's on. You know, I say keep on grinding. Oh, no, I just add another hashtag. They come up with it this weekend when the family was all around the Smith family way. Do it that way. Do it the Smith way. It's all good. If not, do it the Stallworth way, the Edwards way, do it the Elliott way, but do it Talking Sports way. Enjoy yourself. Have an awesome night. And we'll see you on Monday night, or we'll hear from you on Monday night and talk real to you, and for sure next Wednesday night. Have a beautiful night, and we look forward to talking with you again. Good night, everybody.
don't want to play this game no more, yeah.